Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Bad. We were on the dry heaves by the end.
What have you been doing?
Nothing that overexciting. I think I'm just, I can't hack it the way that I used to be able to. And I drank too much too quickly.
Got overexcited.
I got overexcited. I told you, didn't I, that we were going to a drag show on Thursday night. And I had actually specifically said to you, I'm taking the day off on Friday because I hope to be disgustingly hungover. Well, dreams can come true, kids.
Like, any normal person, I wipe my nose on my sleeve.
I know.
Is that not normal?
Any if I'm 4 running? Year old. No, I would do the same.
Yeah. What I don't do is flob a load of stuff that's been in my nose onto the street in front of people.
It's biohazard littering.
It is. And like, in these days of post-COVID, not even post-COVID, it's during COVID. I mean, who does that?
You can't be doing that. No, I'm sorry, I'm not for that. If it happens accidentally, obviously, in the same way that it's like if you wee or poo during a run. Well, if you're like dribbling snot.
Dribbling, fine, but you can't accidentally snot rocket.
No,
I mean,
you can't accidentally snot rocket. I don't have the ability to snot rocket. I'd be absolutely terrified that my brain would come out.
Me too. I'd be really, really worried. I'd put because myself a significant bleed.
Me too. I might dislodge something if I tried to do that. I don't even like blowing my nose because I get scared that I'm going to burst my eardrums.
Welcome to episode 186 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. You catch us in the middle of chatting about our recent yoga efforts, which have had various degrees of success. Running has also had some ups and downs as we prepare variously for our New York half and the Bath half, which I've snuck in the middle there. I then get going on the latest thing that's made me enormously cross. The public playing of music when out running or cycling like naughty teenagers on a train. I'm super angry about this, and it swiftly moves on to music that's played at the start line of races. So do please tell us what you love to hear and what are your pet peeves. If you don't already subscribe to Women's Running Magazine, we've got a Pod Squad exclusive offer for you lovely people. Hop along to womensrunning.co.uk/podsquad and you'll be able to get your mitts on Women's Running for just £3.50 an issue, saving 42% off the cover price. The subscription is totally risk-free and flexible. You don't need to sign up for years and years, so it's the perfect way to get loads more women's running fun times for pennies.
She's got really itchy eyes.
She was honestly in the middle of doing a pigeon pose, and she said, this is Adrienne, and she said, Zumba!
What? I thought that was a whole different thing.
It is a whole different thing. She was just, it was just really weird. She was just like, she was talking about like trying to consider your practice as being different from cardio. So therefore she was trying to persuade us all not to kind of lift our knees up off the floor because it would send our heart rates rocketing. And then she just, yeah, shouted out, Zumba!
What the fuck is she talking about? Because she also regularly will make my heart rate go through the roof on purpose. What does she think's happening when she suddenly gets us to, like, I don't know, do like crunches or something in the middle of the yoga class?
No, yeah, or just hold that plank for like, you know, 30 minutes.
For a really uncomfortable amount of time, but goes, and stay with me. Because...
Do you always stay with her when she says stay with me, or do you not?
No, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
The things that I find most painful that she does that really annoy me, especially because I'm like, this isn't yoga. It probably is. What do I know? But is when, say you're doing like, say she gets you to come up to tabletop position.
Uh-huh.
And then she'll sort of maybe, you know, tempt you into a bird dog or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, now bring that elbow and knee together.
Yeah.
And now do it again, and now do it or whatever. That annoys me. I'm like, what are we doing here? I didn't realize that I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, I know.
What position is this?
What is it about yoga teachers where they really, and she is among these people, they really, really kind of sweetly will say things like, you know, there's that whole float your leg up thing, but yeah. Then also bring your knee to your nose.
Yes, as if it's nice.
Like, as if it's nice. And if it's easy, it's like, I can't, yeah. My knee does not touch my nose. That doesn't happen. That's not a thing.
As if. I've got too much stump, so much of yoga. And I do think Adrienne has improved along the years of saying things like, she now sort of sometimes says things like, it might not look exactly the same for everybody.
Yeah, she does. Like, yeah.
She sort of compensates for people having different bodies. But how many times have you been in a yoga class where, yeah, they have said something like, chin to chest, and you're like, well, I've got loads of tits in the way, or like, I don't know, yeah, put your, I've had before in a forward fold where she's like, now really relax, get, you know, drop your belly to your thighs, and it's like, babes, my thighs and my belly met moments ago, like they've already been introduced in this position. I find child's pose really uncomfortable because I've got quite thick thighs, and so I can't sit back. Like, you know, often when you see people do child's pose and they've got quite thin legs, they're sitting on their heels.
Yeah.
I'm miles from my heels, like my bum's in the air because I've got too much thigh in the way to sit down onto my heels.
That's what I mean. Anyway. I must admit, that's why I love my yoga teacher that I go to during the week, because she is generously boobed, and so she's always, I mean, I'm not, but it's the way in which she explains things. She's like, oh, if you can't, like, for instance, if she says, if you can't sit on your heels, put like a bit of a rug underneath it, you know, put a blanket between your bum and your heels. And yeah, I mean, she's much more, I think I've talked about it before, but I do find that even though I started this slagging off yoga, I do like the way that when you go to yoga, that they do tend to build up with their exercises rather than regress, which is what I get at boot camp a bit. So at boot camp, they'll be like, oh, if you can't do a full press up, do one on your knees.
Yeah.
Whereas in yoga, I think it's more likely that they'll say, right, start here. If you feel like you can, then move to this. So you sort of move upwards. And I think sometimes boot camp needs to do that a little bit. It needs to, like, if you're in a HIIT class or something, I think it would help if they sort of said, this is your basic exercise. If you want to go mental, then lift an arm up or waggle your leg around or do whatever it is.
I think in a class as well, for me, it almost helps when, like, I like to know what is going to be the most horrible bit. So that I can sort of pace myself. I almost would rather that they said, Like, I remember being at a gig once and whoever it was performing was like, I'm just going to let you know I've got three songs left because I hate it when I'm at a gig and I don't know. I'm like, how long are they banging on for? And I feel the same in a class sometimes where it's like, I just want you to say, we've got 20 minutes left. This is the peak. Okay. So stay with me for the peak of this. And then we're going to start to, that is much more likely to stop me from feeling crap and potentially giving up. Whereas if I'm like, oh, we've got 20 minutes left and I'm already, this is already horrible. But
yeah. Do you know what? I think that because they do that quite successfully, or in my spin that I've not been to for 6 months, but in there that he would always do that really well because you go, right, we've got two more really hurty songs and then it's going to, then we're going to be coming down the other side of the mountain sort of thing.
I love like, that. Oh, cheers, that's what I need. A bit like with running when you're like 3 miles to go, 2 miles to go, you can sort of slightly, you can pace yourself in you can terms pace of yourself. How much you need in the tank. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can pace yourself. But yeah, it's harder in boot camp and it's really hard in yoga.
It's really hard in yoga
because it's just like, this is like the way that they talk is always like, you know, and bring your toes to your hands. And you're like going, yep, no.
No.
But because it's all floaty speak, you think, oh, this sounds like it should be easy. And so therefore it shouldn't feel like an effort. And so is it the middle of the class or is it the beginning of the class? And is it going to get worse towards the end? Or is it,
I know.
Is it Shavasana in a minute? I don't know.
Yeah. I completely agree. Sometimes the Shavasana actually takes you off guard as well. And you're like, oh,
yeah. Oh,
I don't know whether I quite pushed as much as I could have done because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
We were talking to our lovely colleague, Tiff, the other day, who is a yoga instructor. Actually, I can't remember whether you were here for this conversation. We had a lovely in-person meeting last week with the whole of our team, which we don't have very often.
No.
And it was so lush. But I went for a bit of, I had a bagel and we had a cheeky glass of Prosecco because it was one of our colleagues' birthdays after the meeting.
Nice, nice.
And Tiff hadn't been very well and she's a yoga instructor and she was giving me all the inside info about what happens when yoga teachers can't be asked.
What did she say?
Well, first of all, she was like, she was saying she has literally done a 10-minute Shavasana before. When she's been like, really, really can't be fucked now. I hope I'm not giving away all her secrets on this pod. She's a very good yoga instructor, so don't let this not make you go to her. But I can't remember what she was specifically saying, but she'd had a really bad cold. So I think she'd done quite a lot of like, rather than doing any demonstrating, she was sort of doing a lot of what flow feels right to you right now sort of thing to the class because she was like, I can't hold my head upside down and I can't think of anything. Bless her.
Oh, bless her boots.
I reckon Adrian never gets ill, I was just going to say.
Oh, Adrian. No, she does. Do you think, is she real or is she AI?
I was just going to say. She's one of the lizard people, isn't she?
Because she's kind of too perfect. I mean, she's not.
Yeah.
She's not like she's really good looking, but she's not like insanely beautiful. But she's kind
she's
of really good looking.
Looking in a very normal girl next door way. That's like she could remain under the radar if she were one of the lizard people.
Yes. and she does
conspiracy theory on this podcast.
I think maybe. Maybe she's got, maybe it's like one of those things where you zoom in to like an AI person and realize they've got like two sets of teeth or like seven
their hands
toes, whatever.
Are like, they're not right. Yeah.
They're all fingers and there's no thumb on them. Yeah.
Oh, I think we could be onto something here. Write in, let us know. What's your evidence that Adrian is made up?
I think. You know, she could be, couldn't she?
She could be. She could be.
Has anyone ever seen her in person?
I'm so interested. And also, I mean, I'm sure it's because she's got an incredibly successful YouTube channel. But I know she does sort of like paid for add-ons and stuff, like you can kind of join her like extra bonus content club and stuff.
Yeah.
But as content creators in a digital landscape, I just full cards out on the table. This is not something you want to do if you want to earn a lot of money. So how is Adrian's life? It looks so perfect. She lives in this beautiful house, and I swear she's got like French windows going out to the forest behind her and stuff, and like the space she's in looks massive and everything. She's always got, I mean, she's probably always got gorgeous gym kit because she's always being sent gorgeous gym kit. But yeah. I want, how is she giving us free, so much free content all the time? New yoga videos, sometimes every day.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Maybe she makes a lot of money. If she's getting, you know, I guess the difference is that she gets a lot of views, sometimes millions on her yoga content. So maybe she gets a lot of ad revenue from that or something.
Yes, because I do think you can get quite a lot of ad revenue when you're on YouTube.
It's a bit fairer than other platforms, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, there we go. New strategy conversation for me and Esther.
Can we be asked to develop another channel?
I know. Well, we should take inspo from Adrian, because actually when you look back at her old mm-hmm. stuff, it was very much in her bedroom on a slightly grainy thing, wasn't it? So you've got the chops, then you just got to start going for it, haven't you?
Oh, God.
I know.
Just can't be asked, Hol. Can't be asked.
I can't be asked. Mm. Anyway. Shall we talk?
Anyway,
should we have the running bit jingle?
Let's have the running bit jingle.
The running bit. Nice.
Lovely.
I've always felt like we need to go quiet in the studio for the jingle, which is silly.
I know, just really silly. Okay, okay. So talk about yours. How's it been going? What's going on?
I've had my first real week with running this week since I started. Because obviously I've had a few knockback runs. I had nearly shit my pants gate. I had one where I thought I was absolutely flying and it was the slowest run I've done in about 2 years gate. But both of those, I still had the energy and motivation to keep going afterwards, even though they were a bit shit. I was like, come on, I'm in the zone. Whereas this week I've really found it difficult. Over the weekend, I actually have to confess, I completely skived my long run. Completely skived it. I was so naughty. I kept putting it off. But it didn't end up happening. I had 3 days off, and so I felt quite protective on my Friday about the fact that I was like, oh, I've booked a holiday day. I quite wanna like use it to actually like do some house stuff and have a nice day. And Doug and I booked to go out for dinner, and I was like, I don't want to go for my run on this day. I want to enjoy spending time with Doug. Didn't enjoy spending time with him at all. Was sick as a dog because I fucked up. You know, I've bragged on the podcast only recently about how long it's been since I vommed from alcohol abuse.
Oh no. How does the end of this sentence work out?
God, it was bad. We were on the dry heaves by the end.
Oh no. What had you been doing?
Nothing that overexciting. I think I can't hack it the way that I used to be able to, and I drank too much too quickly.
got overexcited.
I told you, didn't I, that we were going to a drag show on Thursday night, and I had actually specifically said to you, I'm taking the day off on Friday because I hope to be disgustingly hungover. Well, dreams can come true, kids. It was really bad. I actually, without pointing fingers, because the only person to blame really is myself.
Yeah,
I do blame Doug because he was very late home from work, which meant that we were an hour and a half late for the show.
Oh no.
And I was really gutted and I was so stressed, and I'd been like dressed and ready to go for ages. And waiting. And so I think it meant that when we got there, we really wanted to overcompensate. So we were drinking too quickly, because everybody else was already a couple of beers down and having a great time and halfway through the gig. And so we were like, quick, quick, quick. So we had a pint and a tequila shot on arrival. Terrible plan. What are we doing? So I didn't actually drink a huge amount overall, but I think I drank it quite quickly. Also, there was a classic incident where a weird man bought me a drink. I really, really didn't want the obligation of having to speak to the weird man. I was really protesting the drink, but he was so insistent that I ended up just being like, bleh, 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 bye, because I really, really didn't want to have to spend any more time with him than that.
Oh, dear. Did you have lots of different kinds of drinks? Because you've already mentioned two types there.
No, I had two types. I had quite a lot. I had 4 pints and I had 2 tequila shots. That's quite a lot.
That's loads. Yeah. No wonder you felt like shit.
Yeah, but I didn't mix. But yeah, I did. I did drink them quite quickly.
But you've already mixed.
Oh yeah, that's mixing. I didn't mix.
Oh God. Didn't mix beyond that. But yeah.
It was, we were not in bad company, I will say that as well. Like, I think it was just a lot of people in their late 20s, early 30s maybe, being like, oh, I never go out anymore. And just really not realizing how delicate our what's the word I'm after?
Constitutions
are, that's it. So it was so bad. It was really bad. And it all happened very quickly. I was absolutely fine having time in my life. And then when we got home and I was like, oh God, it's not going to be good. So I was very sicky on the night and on the next day. And the worst part was I was really, really looking forward to going out for our, we booked a really nice Japanese restaurant. And I was like, sorry, mate, you're calling in and cancelling that. There's no way I'm doing that.
Oh, no, yeah, that's not what you wanted.
It was really not what I wanted. Anything pickled was really not what I wanted at all. So, yeah, that was a bit of a shame. Friday was a little bit of a write-off. We watched a lot of YouTube videos in bed, really, and that was all either of us could really face. Honestly, I've not done that in ages. It's really been a... We both looked at each other on the Friday and we were like... This is a real shame. This is a big turning point in our lives. We've really realised that we can't go on nights out anymore at all. We were both gutted.
Oh, no. So, okay, how did that impact running then?
Well, it meant that obviously on Friday that was not happening. But still on Saturday, I felt a little bit tender and I was in a bit of a rush as well because we were going to meet some... Well, oh, my God, loads happened this weekend I haven't told you about. First of all, we woke up on Saturday morning... And I had, because we've had incidents with the neighbours and I was like, I don't want to keep them up. We've got a sofa bed in the living room. So I was like, because we got in really late on Thursday, I was like, let's just sleep in there because I don't want them being like, I heard you walking across the floor at 1 a.m. or something. So we were like, fuck it, let's just sleep in there. So we woke up and obviously not in the room we're normally in our living room. And I was like, and I could hear the heating sort of coming on early doors. And I was like, oh, babe, you know, this sounds like we now know what noise the floorboards make when the heating comes on. Because there was this like weird, creaky, drippy noise. And I was like, oh, it must be the floorboards heating up or whatever. And he was like, what the fuck are you on about, Holes? There's a massive leak coming from the ceiling. So we were like, oh God, huge leak.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying. There's basically been a hole in our roof for a year, but what can you do when you're a lowly tenant? We've pointed it out to the landlord. He's not particularly interested in fixing it. So leakage came through on Saturday. So that took up quite a lot of Saturday morning.
Well, that was snow day, wasn't it?
It was snow day. So we were contacting the landlord and trying to get all of that sorted. And then we went to, I went to meet some friends from school in Bristol, which was really lush. Hadn't seen them in ages, had a catch up. And then we had plans with other friends on Sunday. So I missed the boat. The chance I really would have had probably would have been Saturday morning, but I was still feeling a little bit delicate. And we discovered that we had a huge leak. So not ideal.
Not ideal, no.
Yeah, I felt like a bit of a grotty student all weekend, basically, was what happened. But Sunday, we managed to get our lives back on track again, not in time to have gone for the long run. And I'm making excuses for myself here, but yeah, it wasn't. It just didn't happen.
Okay, so but this is the running bit. So what about the running that you have done? Like over the past week.
Over the past week, my other midweek runs had been absolutely fine. I actually had, when did we last? I'd done my 5 mile and it had been really good, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I did 2 3-miles during the week. And the 3 mile that I did on Monday was not my fastest 3 mile ever, but it was the fastest run that I've done in this training block so far. I loved it. That really was it. I'm flying. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that went really well. Really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, actually, it's not all doom and gloom. But then I decided to behave like a 17-year-old for the weekend and absolutely sacked it off. But it does bring us onto an interesting topic because I have been beating myself up about how many Hail Marys I have to say for my sins. And I think I was like, oh, I'll do my 6 mile on Monday, but then I've got to do my 7 on Friday this week because I'm going away for the weekend and I don't want another repeat of putting it off and not letting it happen because of social pressure or whatever. I think that those two are going to be a bit too close together. I almost feel like it's going to be more likely to push me in terms of exhaustion or potentially injury if I do that, rather than I think what I'm going to do instead is treat the fact that I didn't go for that long run on the weekend as a bit of a drop down week and go for a longer midweek run than I was planning to do today. So I'm going to do like 4 miles today when I was only planning on doing another 3. I think I'll do 4 today and then maybe like a midweek tempo-y thing or something so that I'm not doing too many long miles in 1 week before doing 7 on Friday.
I think that sounds good. Really
sensible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, generally speaking, I probably wouldn't have done the big jump from 5 to 7 because that doesn't kind of, that's not the 10% rule, is it? Because it's a bit more than that. But
I could still do 6 this week and then do like 8 the week after or something.
Or you could do, the way that I get around it is maybe you could do 6.5 because then you're like halfway there. So, I mean, it's just quite
nice.
So
do 6.5 instead of 7 on Friday and then do 8 on the week after. Okay, I quite like that. Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
I'm forever doing that sort of thing, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's really good because we were going to talk about that, weren't we? Because I think it's really easy to look at plans as being week based, which they are, they do tend to be, like if you print it out or even if you look at it on an app or whatever, it does tend to be Monday to Sunday, long run at the weekend and 2 or 3 runs or whatever during the week and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think like you said, that whole thing about sorry about that. If you drop a long run, you can sort of think you've completely cocked it all up. But actually, as we're told time and time again by PTs, we should see our training plan from a more kind of like top-down approach and to look at it not as a kind of a 7-day rolling plan, but I've been told it's more helpful to look at it as 10 days. And so to, if you miss your long run at a weekend, to just look at the kind of mileage that you're supposed to be doing over the course of 10 days and just try and kind of, you know, see if you can figure it out within that time and not feel as though you've failed or stopped or whatever in any way if you miss that long run. And actually, and I think the way that you're doing it is a really good idea, actually, because I don't know if your training plan that you're following includes a drop down at all, but drop downs are such a good thing to include.
No, it doesn't include any drop downs. But it does include a 2-week taper. So I've got a little bit more time than I've had before. But yeah, there wasn't a plan for a particular drop down. But to be honest, I know it sounds really bad. Famous last words. I'm going to be checking in again next week and being like, it was absolutely awful. I can't do the half marathon, throwing all my toys out the pram and crying, canceling my flight to New York. But I think... So I'm actually not feeling too anxious about it because so far I have found the incremental increases of like adding a mile each time not too bad. And I've really been sticking to the midweek training, which I have to admit is not something that I've always been historically very good at doing. Normally I really commit to the long run and I'm a little bit rubbish about fitting in the runs in the middle of the week. But I've been really trying to at least get out 3 times a week. And I've been sticking to it and it's been going well. And I'm feeling like generally confident about, oh God, I'm about to go for a run after this. Watch me come back in tears, but fingers touching all the wood. Yeah. I feel in a relatively confident place with my like overall running picture at the moment, like you were saying. I think if I was worried about a specific time, then maybe I would feel a bit more anxious about having sacked it off, but I just want to feel comfortable and I want to get my body back used to running longer distances again. And I think I'm feeling okay about that right now.
I think you should feel okay, because apart from anything else, it feels like, and you can absolutely correct me if I'm wrong here, but I do, from memory, it seems like your training has been much more structured and kind of much more effective than pre-Paris.
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because you missed quite a lot there, didn't you? I remember in the lead up to Paris for like many reasons and stuff. So
yeah,
I'd hope that your training, because it does sound as though it's going really well.
Yeah, so far it is. This was my first blip, but I think I am going to reframe that in my head, because if I start saying that that's a blip, then I'll be like, I fucked it. And then I know myself, I'll be more likely to beat myself up and not give myself more reasons why I shouldn't get back out there and just carry on.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm like, it's normal, it was fine, it's all normal, carry on with the training plan as normal, don't stress. Mm. I know that that will give me permission to sort of like, not worry about it too much and just press on.
And you shouldn't. I mean, think about, like, are you following a 12-week plan you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So say there's like, if it's 3 runs a week, that's 36 runs, right?
Yeah.
And you've missed one, but you've missed one.
And it is, they do say, don't they, that it always happens. I was actually speaking to Lex because she missed a long run a couple of weeks ago. She was just absolutely exhausted. Work's been really insane for her. Plus, she was getting to that really tricky bit. I think it was 8 or 9 that she missed. So it was like she was deep into the plan. And so she was really knackered. And we've slightly been using each other for permission at the moment. And I found it kind of almost like, using Lex as my person to give me permission to not run is like almost kind of meant I've been less likely to skive them, which sounds a bit silly, but I guess it's like I'm not having that inner monologue of, oh, I'm so crap, I can't believe I'm about to skive again, I don't deserve to go out and blah, 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 blah. Whereas if I'm speaking to somebody else and they're like, no, babes, come on, look at the bigger picture, like you just said, like you've not missed any yet, that's amazing. Or like, think about the huge amount of training that you've done. And like I was saying to her when she missed hers, I was like, you have been going flat out for like 8 weeks or whatever, like 6 weeks, however long it had been. Like if you need to give your body a rest, it's going to be so much better for you if that's what it's telling you it needs. And like, I think maybe sometimes just having that conversation with another person and having that person that is slightly allowed to let you off the hook, it's almost made me more disciplined, because I'm like, do I want to have this conversation with Lex? I know that she'll help me justify it, but I've got to know that it's justifiable to like have that conversation kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do. And well, you're holding each other accountable, aren't you? Which is brilliant, because that really helps. For sure.
Oh, that actually brings me on to my news I had to tell you.
Go on then.
I need to ask you about your running, but we can segue from this, because you are running the Bath Half in 2 weeks' time.
I am.
As are, I'm sure, quite a few pod squadders who are local.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to being a spectator this year for the first time in 3 years, I think. I discovered through looking at my emails yesterday that we are doing a Bath show choir busk on Great Pulteney Street.
No.
So we will be singing you over the...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. It's not actually over the finish line or start line anymore, is it? But singing you over that chunk.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's a switchback as well. So we get lots and lots of singing. Oh my God.
I know. I'm
so
really excited about it. Yeah. So you'll get to hear my choir in action. And I feel like I've got, because I was a bit like, oh, where's going to be my, where shall I stand to be cheer squad?
Yeah.
Now you're going to know exactly where I am. And I've got a whole gang of cheer squad.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so exciting. Well, I think I'm going to be wearing a yellow t-shirt. So watch out for yellow, because we're all wearing.
Okay. Is it for St. Stephen's? For St. Stephen's parent?
Yeah, St. Stephen's mom. Yeah, so I'm going to be wearing.
Oh, okay, I'll look out for yellow St. Stephen's parents and shout to them.
Do. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's 11 of us, I think. So, yeah, it'll be...
Cool.
We've raised quite a bit of money as well, which has been really
well
nice.
Well done.
I know. I'm quite
That's
pleased.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, so, well, yeah. Speaking of, how are you finding it? Because this is obviously your second half in the space of a month.
Yeah. Okay, actually, I think. I mean, I do find it all a bit worrying because of the training ups and downs, but it is okay. I did, like I think I said last week, I like the or maybe I didn't, maybe I wrote it in something, but I like the fact that there are so many frequent tapers and then frequent recuperating weeks.
I think talk about this. Yeah,
so that's really nice because it means that I've just started my taper, which is lovely. So I've got 2 weeks until the Bath half, so I mean, I won't
tell
drop
you what
down.
We talked about it on a podcast actually that's yet to come out. That's going to be really exciting.
Yes. Oh, we did. That's right. That's
that
right.
was when we talked about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's okay. But I am so at the weekend I did my last longest run. So I just did a half marathon. I just thought I'd just bash it out so that I felt a bit more confident on the day, which I don't say is right for everybody, but it's I didn't
I know it
feel
helps
very
quiet to your mind.
It does. It really does. Well, like pre-Barcelona, I'd done 11 or 12. I can't remember which, but I was actually feeling not particularly confident on the start line because I hadn't done the distance. Because all the times I've done half marathons in the last 2 years, every single time I've done one, it's been within a marathon training block. So they've always been drop downs. So I've always run something like 15 miles ahead of running a half marathon.
That makes sense. But also just to give you reassurance, and I know you know this, like that is not 90% of the people on the start line of that half marathon. That's not.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Going to be the case for them, and they're all fine.
I know.
The longest that some of them might have run are 9-10 miles before the day.
Yes, which I completely understand that. But I do think it's tied in for me, that confidence or lack of is tied into the fact that I feel way more confident, but definitely way more trained when I'm doing it as part of a marathon block. So like when I've done things like Great North Run, for instance, or last time that we did Bath Half, in fact, that I felt, it's just felt like my kind of, the bits that I've worried about are the bits that are not to do with the running in a way. It's just sort of crowd and kind of, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff.
Also, I suppose I wouldn't be surprised if it took a bit of pressure off you having that sort of start line, finish line feeling, because you, in both of those instances, am I right in thinking that the half marathon was just part of a, maybe not Bath Half last, but Great North Run was part of a longer training run that you needed to do that day. So I imagine that psychologically, of course, that's like, well, I've already run 5 miles, I can do this. And it doesn't feel quite so sort of standing on the start line waiting for the gun to go off, kind of feeling.
It definitely helps with nerves and stuff like that. No, well, the thing that really helps with nerves is knowing that you can bash out that distance no problem. And so really all you've got to think about is the kind of the nerves that you've got with people watching and the nerves of running, listening to other people's feet. Like I was still nervous when I did the New Forest half.
Yeah,
because you could hear just hearing other people's feet, and because it was a very kind of, it was just a smaller amount of people. In some ways, I was kind of always running with people around me the whole time. And it was kind of, it's distracting and it's disconcerting and it's weird and it's not like normal running. And, you know, so I did 13 at the weekend, you know, obviously completely on my own. And I kept on trying to sort of check in with myself and trying to sort of think to myself, right, okay, remember what this feels like in 2 weeks' time. Remember the kind of feel that, like, you know, try and run in a bit of a tunnel, because I get so anxious having all those people around me, you know, and I just find it, you know, it can sort of put you off your stride a bit, can't it? To have all those people watching and all those people
running.
Definitely. Like it sometimes takes me up to halfway through a half marathon to feel as though I can understand my breath and my body and like feel okay about it.
I totally, it's a dress rehearsal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, I don't think you've done a bad thing. Sorry, HelloFresh really, really want me to know they're outside. It's fine. They'll leave it on the porch. I guess if you were about to be in Hamlet right now instead in the RSC, then you would want to know that you had enough in the tank when you were doing the dress rehearsal for when it came to opening night. But also, I guess you wouldn't want to expend everything. And so while I think it's absolutely fine, because you are a person who's got a lot in the tank in general, but you do a lot of running, I think it's completely fine and normal that you've done the distance so that you know 2 weeks before. But I do think that in general, 10, 11 is absolutely fine for future, for you to quiet your mind with it, because that's the same principle. You're going, can I do this general thing? Yes, I can. Okay, but I'm going to leave a little bit in the tank for the day.
Do you know what?
It's not like you're going to suddenly fall over and die because you're doing an extra mile. And somebody actually put it really well to me as well, that it kind of helps, I think, if you think about it as the last 11 miles or the last 10 miles or whatever of the run, rather than the first, rather than going, oh God, I'll still have 3 more miles to do after that, or 2 more miles to do after that, or whatever. That won't be how that will feel, because you'll have fresh legs, you'll have just tapered. It is much more likely to feel like the last 10, 11 miles of a run rather than the first.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's really good. Really good advice. I also
all the time, even for the shorter ones. I've been like, even if I've been in the last mile of my 5 mile, I've been like, imagine this is mile 12, let's go, kind of thing.
Training
my brain into it a bit.
I think that's really good for long endurance runs. And I think also I think that like doing a slightly longer last run like I've done, and like, I mean, to be honest, also runners that are trying to do a speedy half, they are more likely to have done more than a half in their training.
Yeah.
So rather than people that are hoping to kind of get round or to kind of, you know, just to kind of run all the way around or whatever, not just, but, you know, it is a different, you do different kinds of training kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think also actually, because I am including a 2 week taper, that I think it's okay for me to have done 13 this weekend. Because
you've got a nice long taper.
So I'm probably gonna do 7 or 8 this weekend coming, and I'm gonna do a couple of runs and stuff. I am gonna try and do some strength training this week, but then I'll knock it on the head next week, so I won't do any
good
of that
idea.
Not that I do that much at the moment, but that is one thing I really, really need to pick up again. I think, because I've completely noticed the difference in my running with much less strength training behind me than it really does make it easier.
I feel like I'm gonna notice it too, because at the beginning of my training I'd done quite a lot of strength and I was keeping up with it quite well, and for the last few weeks it's just because when the running starts ramping up, it genuinely is so much more difficult to drag yourself out of bed to do the strength, because you're more tired. And it's quite hard to find, if you're running 3 or 4 times a week, say, it's difficult to find a day that you feel comfortable doing it. Like, I've genuinely been nervous about giving myself DOMS, because there's not that many days that I won't have to run after, like run the day after kind of thing. And so, yoga has been quite a good one for me, with like gently reminding my body about strength, while, and like particularly core, but not But if I'm feeling a bit too anxious to do like a full on boot campy type session.
Yeah.
For some reason, the running, I felt quite relaxed about this time. It's strength that has given me the, oh, I can't do it vibes. Yeah.
But I do find, do you have this? Like, I do find that if I have like my boot camp on a Saturday, and so I wake up on Sunday with kind of achy shoulders and achy legs and whatever, if I do wake up on that and still go for my run, that the run is the thing that can ease off the muscle soreness.
It does help. It does help, definitely. Mm. But I think because these are the longest distances that I've run since I last trained, I've still got that slight psychological block. It's probably absolutely fine to do the strength training the day before doing a 2 or 3 mile run in the middle of the week or something. But doing it before a, 7 mile or something on the weekend, I'm a bit like, oh, what if it's so horrible? And I spend an hour and a half just having a horrible time and being sick and not.
Yeah, I can really get that. Do you know what? One thing I'm going to try and do, and I know this sounds a bit bonkers, but I'm going to try and do my strength on the same days that I do my shorter runs, because it means that I can genuinely have a rest day the day after and not do anything whatsoever. But I also can feel like I can double tick off, and I can do, because I used to do this quite a lot with running and yoga. So I'd go for an early run and then go for yoga afterwards, which felt like just a really brilliant stretching.
Yeah, that's really nice.
After the run. It was really nice. And I think if I did running and strength on the same day, that would do the same sort of function, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I can have any kind of muscle soreness I want the day after. Oh, but I'll tell you what. I made a little note, because there was something I wanted to talk to you about, because when I went for my long run at the weekend, which actually was quite tough because it was the day after, it snowed on Saturday. Sunday, it had all thawed, hadn't it? Which meant that the canal was like bonkers. It was completely drenched.
There was just...
You understand.
Oh, it was really, really wet. I mean, hence, that's clearly what had happened to our ceiling. The snow came in, and then it spent the next 24 hours melting onto our kitchen floor through the ceiling.
So what I quite enjoyed was the fact that I did see quite sort of hench male runners teetering nervously around the edges and trying not to get their trainers muddy and stuff like that. And I'd already said my thing, I've learned, because I've turned my ankle and I've actually given myself quite a substantial Achilles issue by doing precisely that, by running, weaving in and out of the puddles, by kind of, you know, trying to kind of crawl around on banks to try not to get wet feet. And now my whole thing is, if you're on a canal path with kind of an inch on either side that looks as though it might not be puddly, just to plow through the middle of it. So
I've been doing the same. The only bit, I really don't care during the run. The only bit that's nasty is, well, I suppose like the couple of seconds after you've just done it, and then you forget about it and it's a bit squelchy sometimes walking home, but whatever.
It's exactly that. So I completely modified my trainers and I just thought, I'll stuff it. I'm just going to run through. And it was uncomfortable because I wasn't wearing absolutely the right kinds of socks, I guess. And if I was going on like on a much longer trail run, I would have got to the end, whipped my shoes off, put a new pair of socks on and carried on. It felt so much nicer. But it was fine. It was fine. I got it done. But the thing that I wanted to talk about was a couple of instances that I noticed on this run. I think this is a new thing. It's a new controversy. I'm going to highlight it now.
So okay.
Have you noticed, because I think this comes from the cyclist community. Yes, you people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I've noticed that more cyclists now, these days, are playing music and they're not listening to headphones because they're cyclists. They're just playing it open like horrible children on a bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're doing. I've begun to notice that this is coming into the running community too. And I find it very, very weird.
I've not noticed that.
Mm, yeah.
I'm going to look out for that then today. I'll go down the canal path and I'll do some investigative journalism.
Yeah. So I noticed that it was twice on my run. There was a cyclist and to be honest, actually she was more like a cheer squad, because there was her and there were two runners in front of her and she was playing music for them, which I thought was quite weird.
That's on a very, bit, very... I mean, fine. Absolutely fine. I guess if that's like, if someone's doing like a virtual race or something, then I guess each to their own. I think I find that more weird if somebody's playing music on their own.
There was a guy that ran past me and he was playing music just outwardly with no headphones. And
yeah,
my first thought is like, do you know that that's what's going on? Or do you think they're coming through your headphones?
Classic. Yeah.
But I think they obviously both did. And that this is a new thing. And I'd noticed it. I mentioned New Forest. I had noticed it in New Forest. There was at least two people at New Forest that had music coming out on a speaker as they ran. And I thought for New Forest particularly, I really, really disliked it because it was a really quiet race. So there may have been like 300 or 400 people doing my bit. Oh, no, I think it's a few more than that. But there was no spectators. And, you know, it's just the runners. And I think they were doing it to kind of G up the runners. But what you've got is, because you're not everyone is running the same pace as that person. So the person around that person, the people around that have to listen to their choice of music for the whole fucking time. People that are coming past them, like I sped up to get rid of her because I was so irritated by it. And I think it's sound pollution. It's like, if you want to listen to your music, listen to your music. Like I'm not making everyone listen to my latest purchase on Audible as I run down the streets. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if you had Adam Buxton like on a speaker as you ran? People would be like, mental.
I'm kind of, I'm wondering, classic. I'm thinking empathetically, what's going on in their minds? I'm wondering, in a race, is it because genuinely some people get so worried about the headphones thing, but they're so used to running with music? But I kind of agree with you then that I still don't think that's 100% an acceptable answer, right, because it's like, get some bone conducting headphones or just like get over it, because that might be what helps you run, but you have no idea whether the 10 people around you are being helped by that.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to remove your empathy and squash it because I don't think that surgically remove it, because I don't think that anyone that is thinking about other things or thinking about anything other than themselves is going to be doing what they're doing. I don't think there's any, they're not thinking, like, I think that there is a chance that the person that's playing music from a speaker during a race or during a run, during a race specifically, I think they might have a little gene in there. There's something in their head is sort of saying, oh, it's going to help encourage other runners. And what I want us to say here is, no, it fucking doesn't encourage other runners, because we can't get away from you, and you might be playing something awful or you might be playing something that we like, but how can you tell? And just doing your playlist is not going to support us. And if you're on a run on your own playing music outwardly, that's exactly the same as kids on a bus, and it's sound pollution and it's awful and it's horrible. It's horrible. We know when you're on a train and someone they haven't even got correct fitting headphones or something, and you hear every word of every song, even when it's not on a speaker, or you hear what they're listening to. I do agree with you.
Or people who just outright, that doesn't bother me so much because I'm like, at least they've tried. Maybe they're not aware. I find it very odd when people just play it out loud. That I find really strange. When I was coming back from the NRS, I had a guy who was doing that. And he was singing along. He was going, murder on the dance floor. He literally was.
Not good.
I was going to say, the only one that I think I do have some sympathy for, because I know we've got listeners who've done like virtual races. Maybe if you're doing it in a group, having a sort of cheer person. But again, I don't know whether it would help me having the music. I think it would help me having a cheer person, but I think chat, that's the benefit to having a group, and that's how you can get through it. And if music helps you, then put some music in, because again, what's going to help you might not be exactly the same as anybody else in your group that are doing the virtual race with you or whatever.
Okay.
So
yeah,
you might want your own things.
Actually, the cyclist and the runners that I saw, the first people that I saw, where the cyclist had some music and the runners in front of her were just running, the runners were talking. So they were paying no attention to her whatsoever. It's like, well, yeah, just turn so it off.
She could be there.
Why are you disturbing? Disturbing the peace and quiet of the canal with some shitty bit of Taylor Swift or whatever it is that you're playing. Yeah. It's just like, what are you doing? It's horrible. I think it's really, really rude. I think people need to...
I back you on this. But... Of course,
it is going to ruin 101.
If anybody has an alternative viewpoint, if you love playing music when you're out and about aloud, let us know.
Oh, then you're mental. But who? Because it's like drivers in driving their cars with sound coming really, really loudly, and it's willy waving, isn't it? That's all that is.
Yeah, I do hate when that happens with cars.
It's fucking irritating. I can't.
It is really annoying.
It's exactly the same as bastard kids on the back of the bus playing music really loudly, looking around for eye contact, waiting for someone to confront them.
They are trying
about
to get attention, aren't they?
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
they want
I
to get
just
in a
think
fight.
If you, like, you need, yeah, you need to get some good bone conducting headphones. Then you can hear what's going on around you and also hear your music. That's the answer to that. Also, exactly. I think as runners, this made me think generally, a bit like, you know, how every few years we really, really, really need some new Christmas music. I think we need new music for like running events and running and race start lines. And stuff. If I have to hear fucking run it, all that. Oh God, we really need some new running music. Just any songs with running in the world, in the title. Please, can we
it's
get
some so
new...
true it's bloody Rocky theme tune. Eye of the Tiger, running.
Oh my God, it literally that triggers me. I feel anxious hearing that.
Oh, that said, I will be triggered by exactly that song. That's it. And I've already outed Eye of the Tiger, but I did hear Eye of the Tiger being played once by, oh no, it wasn't. It was the Rocky theme tune, which is different, isn't it? I heard that being played by a brass band during the bath half once, and that was really good.
That would probably help me pick up my step. I mean, and I've said before, I love when like, as a member of a choir that's going to be singing at the, but I love when there are things like that going on. But the difference is also that it's not following you. If somebody ran past me and they were playing music out loud, it really wouldn't fucking bother me.
That's the thing.
It's when you're running alongside somebody, I think that's when it's use your common sense. If for some reason you have to, your headphones have died and you're like, I've got 7 miles to go, I would rather stick pins in my eyes than do it in silence.
I would tell them to stick pins in their eyes. Go. It's so selfish. It's not like running past your bus with the singers on it. That is absolutely amazing and lovely. And like
you
when I did Bus Lane and a Half.
To spend the amount of time you would like there listening and then you can move on. It's when someone's running alongside you with music that it's like, please shut up.
It's like, no, please shut up and go away. I mean, when we started the Bus Lane and a Half, we had actual Bono, asterisk, not actual Bono, singing U2 medleys at us. And it was
amazing.
But you heard it for like 12 seconds and then you were off and that was it, kind of thing. And that's as it should be. And if people wanted to listen to the thing is that if you've trained with music and there's particular music that really gets you going, then that's great. But you need to have the self-awareness that the music that gets you going is not necessarily the music that gets other people going.
It's all very subjective. So I think that's why it's like you can't, or just like have some self-awareness. That's the thing. If you are running across quite a remote bit and your headphones have died, obviously, if there's nobody around you, it's up to you what you bloody do. Like, of course, put your music on your phone or whatever if that helps you get through the run. But if you are running next to another runner or it's a really congested route where there's like loads of people going past you, I just think have a little bit of sense of like other people around you in the world. It's a bit like if you were just like running right in the middle and expecting everybody to move out the way for you and not being conscious of doing the same for other runners. It's that same thing, isn't it? Where it's like, just think about the other people around you. If you're running next to someone and you really, really are loving playing your music, but you've been maintaining kind of a pace with someone next to you, then be like, sorry, is it all right if I'm, is that annoying you?
Just don't do it. It's so bad. It's up there in my head with public spitting.
Oh, that's what I don't like.
I
don't like that at all. My sister does that sometimes, and I'm really embarrassed to be with her when she does it. I'm like, go away, get out of my sight with that. I don't want anybody to think I'm related to you for doing that.
No, I think it
makes her look like a yob. Sorry if that's language, but I don't mean it in a classist way. I mean it in just specifically people who's bit from whatever. Background.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
I've seen it in races a lot because runners do spitting quite a lot, or like kind of hoiking up or kind of snot. What's it called? Smokers. Snot missiles.
Smokers who spit. I'm like, you've made your bed. Do you like it or not? I thought you liked it. Suck it up.
Spitting's generally. I have definitely done Paddington hard stairs. What I've never done, because I know that some, and have we covered this about running and spitting, running and snot rockets and things like that? Have we talked about that? Because
I think we talked about it quite a long time ago, but we haven't talked about it in a while. I actually feel like I've gone slightly green even thinking about it.
Well, it's a tricky one to think about because I do find it logistically impossible to even consider, but also it is quite. I don't know, especially if it's just a normal runner. Where have they learned to do that? Who teaches them how to like blow snot out of their nose? And what's wrong with a hanky?
I don't know.
Why does it have to be forceful?
Maybe I don't have a very dribbly nose when I run, but like it's a bit like in the same way that sometimes your wee that you need at the beginning gets sort of sucked back up inside you because you go into survival mode. I just don't think that I would really be like thinking about that. Or if I was, if I really suddenly got a very runny nose, then I'd be like, yeah, I need to stop and get a tissue or something then.
Well, thing is, like when I start going for a run, particularly if it's a bit cold, the first thing I think that goes liquid is my eyes. My eyes run massively as soon as I go outside. And then occasionally my nose does run. Like, any normal person, I wipe my nose on my sleeve.
I know.
Is that not normal?
Any if I'm 4 running, year old. That's what I no, do. I would do the same.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, what I don't do is flob a load of stuff that's been in my nose onto the street in front of people.
It's biohazard littering.
It is. And like, in these days of post-COVID, not even post-COVID, is during COVID. I mean, who does that?
You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. No, I'm sorry. I'm not for that. If it happens accidentally, obviously, in the same way that it's like if you wee or poo during a run. Well, if you're like dribbling snot.
Dribbling, but you can't accidentally snot rocket.
I don't have the ability to snot rocket. I'd be absolutely terrified that my brain would come out.
Me too. I'd be really, really worried. I'd cause myself a significant bleed.
Me too. I might dislodge something if I tried to do that. I don't even like blowing my nose because I get scared that I'm going to burst my eardrums. Oh, dear. Oh, I tell you what. I've got a quick letter for you. Should we have What You're Saying, Jingle?
Yeah, let's do it.
What are you saying this week?
What are you saying? God, we're packed with jingles today, aren't we?
I know. I love when we get the jingles out. It makes me feel profesh.
Yeah.
So this is from Rachel. I hope she doesn't mind not keeping her anonymous. She's not asked me to. She was just responding to the conversation that we had about simple running last week, which we had quite a lot. Was that last week?
I think it's a week before.
Don't know. What blurs into one. We've had a lot of support for the idea of simple running.
Lovely.
You guys have been backing us on that. But Rachel said something that I thought was really interesting. She said, well, she was talking a little bit about her own personal experience with getting quite fixated on stats and particularly like with food and stuff and causing her actually in the end quite a lot more anxiety because she was worrying about it so much. And she feels like she's in a much better place with it. But she said that she learned something recently, which found really helpful. And she thought you particularly would find it interesting, Esther. Dr. Stacey Sims talking about many trackers being based on male data, including parameters like heart rate variability, HRV, how rested you are, I guess like your training readiness and stuff like that. So your watch might suggest your HRV isn't good, put it in the red or the orange or whatever, that you aren't recovering well and that you're not well rested, but it doesn't necessarily understand how your hormones might be working, and it's not necessarily based on female bodies, that information. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not dragging Garmin on the pod. I have no idea, but it's certainly not a given, I suppose, that it is tested specifically on female bodies. And quite often, it sounds like lots of trackers are not. She said that Dr. Stacey Sims talks about this on a podcast called When Life Gives You Lemons. I've never listened to it before, but I might go and have a listen to it.
Well, that's really interesting because it's the bloody patriarchy. So we're saying that the patriarchy has made my HRV go for shit 2 weeks of the month. Is that essentially what we're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what we can say.
Bastards. Yeah. Okay.
Bastards.
Okay. Okay. I can live with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can just blame it on the patriarchy.
Yeah, I do. I do tend
to blame
it.
It is interesting, isn't it? The whole...
Oh, sorry. Go on.
I was going to say women being like small men kind of science that I think, you know, I'm absolutely, again, I don't know. Let's get Garmin on again. We have spoken to Garmin before and that was very useful chat. We can actually discuss this in person with them if we can arrange it. But wouldn't it be ironic that like you can get specific Garmins that are designed for like small wrists and stuff.
Yeah.
That they would go to the trouble of designing a specific version that's pink and small, but that absolutely none of the data would be based on what it's actually
that's
like
really interesting.
To live in a woman's body. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it is interesting because at the moment, cause I have, I've only very recently turned on cycle tracking on my Garmin. Before then I'd never did, cause I used a different app for that.
Yeah.
But I thought actually, okay, let me do that. And I just need to dive into the stats a bit more to see if the fact that it's now taking on board my cycle and what that's doing, are they going to take that on board and mix that up with my HRV, or is it just sort of pinkifying a little bit of stats on top? I mean, I don't know. It's really interesting.
I'm really intrigued.
Yeah.
Well, who knows whether we'll ever be able to get in touch with Garmin again, but if we can then that would be really really interesting person to really interesting to ask an expert, not necessarily Garmin, but obviously Polar and the Apple, there are plenty of other options. But I do think that is really really valuable info, because 100% agree, like if you're taking the time to input your cycle information, but like what are they actually doing with that information?
What does that do?
You're due on your period today, like any like calendar, like those old-fashioned rotating things could tell you.
I mean that's exactly what it does. So I don't know, like,
what
if
is
it's
that
kind
really
of
telling you that you don't already know about your body. Is it actually using that information to give you better info about your training, and is it compared
my heart rate
to other stats, or is it just pinkifying, like you said?
It's really interesting. Do you know what, I want to revisit this over the summer, I think, when I get out of these three training ups and downs. I want to take a long look back at my HRV and see if the green and orange goes up and down in the way that it has done according to my cycle or according to the races. Because at the moment, unfortunately, I'm doing a race on the day of my...
every month.
So
every month.
Yeah, I'm doing a race on the day. I was just thinking about this, going, oh, bath half. Does that fall? Yeah, that does fall into
once again. That's good. Yeah.
Yet again, going to wake up going, oh, brilliant. Going to have to try and negotiate those two things at the same time. But
oh, you're very good. I'm such a martyr. I'd be like, oh, I can't possibly. Oh, no, opposite of martyr.
Weeping? The other one. Sub-martyr. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What is the opposite of a martyr? I don't know.
I don't know. Slightly pathetic.
Someone that definitely would not be killed for the cause.
No, no. Mm-mm. Would you join the resistance? Would you have joined?
I don't think I would have. If they needed someone to check spellings, then yeah, I would have. But yeah. Other than that, no.
Dog and I were talking about it very quickly. Over Christmas, we went to France and we were in Normandy. And obviously there's lots of the D-Day landing stuff there. And we went to a museum about it. And there's a bit in Peep Show where they talk about it, where Jeremy asks Mark whether he would be in the resistance. And he goes, well, it would have been a very difficult time, Jeremy. And we were saying that to each other. Or we were like, it would have been a very difficult time. I don't know. I can't. I don't know, quite simply. Okay. I wasn't there. It would have been a very difficult decision. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
But I think I like to think I'm the sort of person who likes to think that I would have been a part of the resistance. But actually, probably I'd be like hiding under the floorboards and crying.
Yeah, I think that's more likely to be me as well. I think I'm less likely to be actively resisting and more passively resisting by just not being there.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
Yeah,
I don't think we would have been, you know, straight in the waving the white flags and going, go on then. But I think maybe we would have been resisting in our own way.
Yeah, in our hearts.
Oh my God. Awful people.
Cowards. So cowards. Not martyrs, cowards.
Oh. Absolute cowards.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. God, very, very lucky that I don't live in a war-torn area. And let's hope that I don't ever, because I would be absolutely rubbish.
The only thing we have to resist is public music, and that's it.
No, I know. Yeah, listen to us. Bloody hell. Right, let's go away and read the news and feel bad about ourselves.
Okay, gonna do that right now.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.